Right when you thought they were ramping down, U.S.-China trade tensions are escalating. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Remember 10 days ago, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin suggested U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods were being set aside with a trade war on hold. Well, that was May 20th. Now the Trump administration is pressing ahead and is adding new pressure on China. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington and our China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai are on their respective lines here. First, Nancy in D.C., bring us up to date on what the Trump team is doing now.
The White House has announced it's going forward with its plan to impose 25% tariffs on $50 billion worth of imports from China. President Trump first threatened these tariffs back in March. This is the next step in that process. The list of specific products is supposed to be announced on June 15th. The White House appears to be taking another unexpected step. The Associated Press is reporting the Trump administration also plans to limit visas issued to some Chinese citizens. Now, the State Department used to routinely allow them to stay the maximum possible length of time. Now, the Associated Press reports Chinese grad students in fields like robotics and high-tech manufacturing will be limited to a one-year visa, and Chinese citizens will need clearances from a number of U.S. agencies if they work as researchers or managers for certain Chinese companies. Those clearances could take months.
Well, you can imagine China's reaction to these latest announcements can be summed up in one word, surprised. Because in the last round of talks in Washington earlier this month, China said both sides agreed to not engage in a trade war. So now Beijing says it's ready to fight back. Here's a statement from China's Ministry of Commerce as read out by the local media. It says, whatever measures the United States takes, China has the confidence to defend its own interests. China's nationalistic newspaper, The Global Times, was even more pointed, saying that the U.S. suffered from, quote, delusion, and warned that reneging on trade could leave Washington dancing with itself.
All right, so the U.S. is talking high-level talks with North Korea, but on trade, what's next for China and the United States? I think the two sides are set to meet in Beijing this weekend, right?
Yeah, well, there are concerns that these talks might not happen if the two sides can't agree on a broad outline. Everyone expected these talks would be challenging, partly because China denies America's repeated claims that it forces foreign companies to transfer their technologies to Chinese businesses. Now, the China Daily newspaper says this does indeed happen, but it's a result of normal business practices between U.S. companies and their Chinese partners, not because of coercive policies. And it says the U.S. is using this issue as an excuse for trade protectionism. And the official Xinhua news agency said this latest, quote, flip-flopping by the Trump administration is hurting America's national credibility.
And David, clearly yesterday's announcement was not expected, especially right before Secretary Ross's trip to China. It may just be a negotiating tactic to put pressure on Beijing in those talks. Ross is scheduled to travel to China with staffers from a number of U.S. agencies, including Commerce, the Agriculture and Energy Departments. They are supposed to hammer out an agreement for China to start importing more agriculture and energy products from the U.S. The idea is to narrow the trade gap between the U.S. and China. They're also supposed to discuss the fate of the Chinese telecommunications equipment company ZTE. President Trump has said he'll ease U.S. sanctions on ZTE. China had said those sanctions would force ZTE to close.
All right. Reporting from both D.C. and Shanghai there. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London up 0.3% after the storm and drong in Italy and Spain yesterday. Stock indicators there are up this morning. Dow and S&P futures each up 0.5%. Today, the U.S. Federal Reserve is scheduled to take a step toward weakening a key piece of the legislation designed to stop some future repeat of the great financial crisis. This is called the Volcker Rule. That's the regulation detested by the bigger banks that limits some riskier trading practices. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more.
The debate over the Volcker Rule often comes down to this. What exactly counts as risky trading for banks? Andy Green is an economist at the Center for American Progress.
The Volcker Rule is trying to say you can have what you need on hand to serve customers, but not more than that.
The problem is what's called proprietary trading, explains Asif Manella at Washington University.
So proprietary trade, say in oil, would be bank thinks that oil is cheap right now, therefore buys oil, hoping that the price will go up.
Right now, banks have to prove to regulators they aren't taking big risks with customer deposits. And banks complain the rules are kind of arbitrary.
If a bank enters a position and it holds that position for more than 60 days, that's fine. If it does it for 59 days, that's not fine.
One of several elements of the Volcker Rule banks are hoping to change to give them more flexibility, lower compliance costs, and potentially higher profits. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Slabaugh from Columbus, Indiana. Make Me Smart and Marketplace are two of my favorite shows, both pushing me to think outside of my normal boundaries and making issues important to me that I wouldn't have considered before. I became a Marketplace investor because I feel it's important to vote with your dollar for media that makes a difference in the world. To join me as a Marketplace investor, donate today in whatever amount works for you at marketplace.org.
Today, Amazon's shareholders are set to vote on how the company interviews candidates for its board. The so-called Rooney Rule originated in 2003 when the National Football League began forcing teams to interview at least one minority candidate for top jobs. Now, other industries have adopted variations of this. From WESA in Pittsburgh, Marketplace's Erica Barris has more.
A criticism of the Rooney Rule, its effect wanes over time, and interviewing one candidate doesn't equate to a hire. That's what happened in the NFL, and that's why Karen Ulrich Stacey's group, Diversity Lab, came up with an alternative, the Mansfield Rule. 30% of candidates need to be female or diverse. But she says even talking about diversity at the highest levels is a great first step.
I think in some instances, it's worth it to just try something.
That conversation can help companies and their boards think differently about candidates. Lyft, Uber, and Pinterest have adopted the Rooney Rule. Darren Rosenblum, a law professor at Pace University, says the rules could go further and points to European policies.
The French rule and the Norwegian rule require 40% as a floor for corporate boards, and firms that violate that will not have their decisions respected.
And research shows companies with more diverse boards are more profitable. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.